No, thank you for agreeing to be interviewed, Bethany and Enrique. Perhaps I can ask you to introduce yourself first.
I'm Bethany Paid. I'm an occupational therapist and rehab coordinator that works in mental health services for the Nepean Blue Mountains Local Health District.
Hi, and I'm Enrique Albanoz. I'm an OT and the clinical lead for the Assertive Community Treatment Team for the Nepean Blue Mountains Local Health District.
Now, let's start with a question about what you're actually implementing. What research findings have you been implementing where you're working?
What we've been implementing is an assertive community treatment team in our local health district. So we looked at literature, specifically a Cochrane review and other reviews of implementation trials on assertive community treatment teams that have been implemented mostly overseas in the US and the UK, and we then reviewed
So you've got a large body of research, and the main study was a Cochrane review done a while back, 1998, I think. But there's been a collection of other research, and that's been implemented as well. Perhaps you can just describe what ACT is as well.
So, yeah, I can do that. Assertive community treatment, the model itself is working with consumers who have severe mental illness and difficulty living within the community. They usually have a history of multiple hospital admissions or prolonged hospital admissions and non-engagement with mental health services. And so the model itself features low staff-to-consumer ratios and more frequent and intensive consumer contacts and a time-unlimited follow-up so that you've got time to actually address these higher needs with this consumer group. So they're able, the ACT team is therefore able to provide more intensive direct service provision to the consumers.
And then what practice behaviours are you actually trying to change, and who's the target of the change?
The target for the change that we were trying to implement is a specific team in our local health district, which used to be a residential rehabilitation team, but they were no longer able to work in that residential rehab facility. So we decided that we would utilise that team as an ACT team, which had 7 members. And what we got them to do was to work across a large geographic region. Most of our teams in our current areas actually just work across one or part of a local government area. But we've had this team working across 3 local government areas. And what we got them to actually change in their practice was how often, the frequency of contact, how often they're actually working with consumers. Most general community mental health teams can see people fortnightly or weekly. This team can see people up to 5 times a week. They're working with smaller caseload numbers, so up to 10 per clinician, and they're working in a way where it's not just a one-on-one, one clinician to a consumer, but a team management approach where multiple clinicians get to know individual consumers and they're all actively working on aspects of their recovery with them. So the target population is really those with a severe mental illness, with poor social functioning, and a history of poor adherence with treatment. So usually these would be the people that fall out of case management or don't really achieve outcomes, and those also that have those prolonged, frequent and multiple hospitalisations, where we can actually get them to not need that many hospital days, which is a very expensive use of mental health services, but maintain their community living a lot more than in previous ways of managing.
Now, I asked you before, how did you know there was a gap? And you said you didn't actually do any audits or any data collection. You just knew that you weren't doing this kind of intervention and you needed to do it more.
Yeah, exactly. So after I spent a long time doing a lot of literature reviews, finding out what other models of practice there were out there. The way that we were working was general case management teams across the mental health service in the LHD. And when I pulled together a proposal about what we could do, it was clear that we weren't providing anything even remotely close to assertive community treatment, and that as this was a clear model of implementation, we weren't adhering to that at all. So with a needs analysis undertaken with other team members of the team we were looking at changing, and the managers and the consumers in the area, we were able to see that this would be a good use of the actual resources we had available, which was a team of up to 7 clinicians, of which I only had 4 still currently employed, and a few resources like cars and other kinds of things. That this was the best model that we could utilise these resources to the best outcomes for the service as well as for consumers and staff.
Okay, now we'll move on to the fourth question. What strategies or intervention have you used to help change the practice, and with whom?
Okay, so I was involved in developing the proposal for the team and for setting up the team in the first 4 months until we got Enrico, who's the clinical lead, on board. So for me, the main thing that got management to agree to this big practice change was a clear proposal where we'd outlined exactly what was required, how we were going to go about it, and all of the change processes. So I think that was a really important strategy. Because we were looking at implementing a change with an existing team, this wasn't enhancement funds and it wasn't additional positions, we were changing the function of an existing team. I met with that team in the 4 months leading up to the change, and also while we were writing the proposal before that, but fortnightly in that lead up, in that 4 months, where we were doing caseload reviews of what they were doing, we were reviewing literature together and talking about the changes of their roles and responsibilities under this new model of practice, and we were also looking at what the expectations would be on them as individuals and as a team once we'd done the changeover to the new model of practice. And also, because it was an existing team and there was an understanding across the whole mental health service what this team provided, I also went out and did an education session with teams and other stakeholders across the mental health service about what this team's change of role would mean for the team itself, but also for the wider mental health service. And I'll just hand you over to Enrico to talk about what some of the strategies he used during the implementation of the team.
So one of the things that we've been trying to focus on since my involvement is about that ongoing education, I guess, is boosters of around the ACT, so making sure that our team is still working towards providing a service that's closely related to the ACT model. So we have monthly education sessions where we dedicate time to actually be reviewing the model, reviewing what literature is available, to make sure that, you know, we continue reviewing and reflecting on our practice to make sure that we are working towards the model. Other things that we've also tried to implement is, I guess, regular reviews of case studies and reviewing people within our team, that the consumers within our team, to make sure that we are providing, I guess, the best service that we can. And just, I guess, keeping communication open with the rest of the service, because a big part is about improving, I guess, our profile and our positioning within the service as well. So providing that education, that communication with them.
Okay, now we'll move on to the barriers and enablers. First of all, what were the major barriers? Typically, barriers are things like skills and knowledge of staff, not having vehicles or systems in place. So what were the main problems for you with implementation?
We definitely had some of those systems barriers in the setup. One of the hard systems we have to work with is the recruitment system. As I said, we had a team of 7 clinicians, but only 4 on board. So by the time I was able to actually recruit to the clinical lead, the team had actually been functioning for 4 months, which meant I was trying to actually do that role as well as my own role. There was also that, how do you actually start to put things in practice kind of barriers. We had very limited clinicians who had ever worked in this kind of model of practice out here, very limited resources that we could tap into. So it was really relying on the articles and the overseas guidelines and implementations of how do you actually move this evidence-based idea into actual practice on the ground in a service.
I guess ongoing barriers that what we're experiencing is around, I guess, the transformation of the team. Like Bethany said, that we were moving from converting the residential team into now the ACT team. So it's about, you know, education ongoing education for the new staff, you know, making sure that they have a good understanding of the model, they're working within the model. Another barrier is around the perception around the service of what the team does and what the team can do, and still building this, their understanding of what we are trying to implement and how we are trying to practice. And then there are other barriers in terms of actual physical resources. So, you know, a big part of the model is being able to provide all parts of a service and having access to specialists, which we don't have access to at this stage. So around drug and alcohol workers, doctors, vocational workers. Mm-hmm. And then there's the physical resource, you know, trying to manage cars and phones. Mm-hmm. Being that we've moved from being, I guess, centre-based and residential-based services to now being a community-focused. Yeah. And then there's, I guess, the challenge of covering a large geographical area and considering what available services, and I guess combining with the different teams that exist, that currently exist.
And enablers?
We're very fortunate that we had supportive management, and Bethany put a very good proposal in place which helped get their support. I think it's very important as well that we've got a team that's really willing to change and that to adopt a new model of practice. It's helped that the staff have been heavily involved in this process. You know, they met regularly, like with Bethany. There was a lot of meetings with management. There was a lot of information that was circulated to them, planning days to review practice. And it was important to establish clear goals. Other things that helped is that the ability to link with other teams in the area, developing partnerships, and I guess working at building a bigger presence